Boker Tov. We will continue. We were doing Haggalah yesterday, and we got into the major Yisod, that Kibolo Kachpoto, the way that the treif gets in, or the even if it's heter or chametz or whatever you're trying to get out of the kli, whatever flavor you're trying to get out of the kli, that's the way that you have to remove it. And we got into a whole bunch of stuff yesterday, but we got into the machlokes, whether you use a kli for multiple things, so then can you just do the one that it's most used for, or do you have to go after its most chamor use, its most strict use? And we got into, as well, we just started the question of what do you do if the kli is too big to fit into another kli, right? So you have already a big pot that you want to kosher. That's the biggest pot in your house. And as Dr. Eichel said, unless you're in Yerushalayim, where they have these like huge, massive vat pots with these flamethrower heaters on the bottom, where they can kosher even, your big kelim. So then you really have no etza, right? How are you gonna kosher your big pots? So over here, you're going to have to do a self-contained koshering, right? You're going to have to boil water in the pot itself. And the big question is going to be, how do you get to the rim of the pot? Because it's never possible to fill the pot to such a degree where it's going to hit the top rim of the pot all the way on top over there. So the Gemara really asks our question. Gemara Avodah Zarah, Ein Vav Amud Aleph. This is source number 5 on page number 2. The Ketzer Magilin asks the Gemara, how do you do Haggalah? Amar Afuna Yora Katana Betoch Yora Gedola. You put the small pot inside the big pot, right? You boil water in the big pot, put the small pot inside, kosher it. Yore gadol amai, what do you do with a big pot though, right? It's too big to fit into another one. Tashma, dahu duda dahave be Rav Akavya. Rav Akavya had this cauldron, he had this pot. Ahadar le gadfana delisha, apuma umiluya maya. So what did he do? He kind of made a dough rim. He stuck a dough all around the top. That way it's kind of like a false rim. So that way you can get the water even higher. And then he boiled water there, and therefore it got even to the top of the rim. Basically, he extended the rim of the pot with dough. And that created like another layer. Then he filled it up with water. So now the water, the boiling water, would even reach into the rim of the pot. And he boiled that water. Amar Rava, man chacham lememar ki ha milsa, who's as wise that can do like this? Ilav Rava Kavya, if not for Rava Kavya, digava Rava, he's a great person, great mind. Kesavar, and he holds kibolo kachpoto. This is where it all stems from. This lushan of the way it goes in is the way it needs to come out. Ma bolo benitzotos, af polto benitzotos, just like it comes in through splurting at the top, right? The boiling water kind of spritzes water at the top. So too, by creating this false rim, it's not going to be actual boiling water that's going to reach it, but the spurts of the boils will reach the rim of the pot. Yeah. So basically, as Tibby mentioned, like there's other ways to get to the top of the rim. Sorry, Ian, why the Gemara didn't exactly say it, right? Why couldn't you just splash some water on the top? He had to spend time making this whole dough rim. Could be in his time that was something that was very easy. Particularly if you're doing Haggalah for chametz, it's not going to be a great idea to do the dough rim, right? Because that's just going to trafe up the pot. So what do you do when you're koshering for chametz? So this was talking about, obviously, koshering milk, meat, trafe, etc. but practically speaking, the kosher organizations pretty much say that either one can stick in, something into the pot to cause it to overflow. A much better idea, other people will boil water and kind of overflow it over the sides. Some people will just tilt over the water on all sides. Again, you have to be careful. It's boiling water that you're dealing with. Put on rubber gloves. Other kosher organizations recommend, and this I believe is the easiest, just to put on a rubber glove and splash over the sides. And you could really even do that with a kli. right? So you really take a big spoon, move it over the sides, right? So you're filling it up pretty high, almost to the top, and then take a kli, spill it over the sides. Basically, you need the boiling water to hit the rim of the pot without being removed from the body of water. That's the trick over here. So if you take a spoon and you scoop up some water and pour it on top, that wouldn't work because now you removed it from, it's not kli rishon anymore that you're pouring on top. So don't remove the water from the thing, but you have to keep it to the body of water and kind of wave it over this, cause a wave to move it over the sides or tilt it over the sides and make sure you hit the whole rim of the pot on all sides. So those are going to be some of the eitzas. Put on a rubber glove, splash over, use a kli to splash it over, but make sure you're not removing it from the body of water. Or you can take, boil a separate pot of water and pour it until it overflows over everything. That's what I used to do until I learned the glove trick. So all these different methods to do it. But basically, what we're trying to do is hit the rim of the pot without using kli rishon water. And if a person does use some kind of technique like that, like sticking some kind of kli to cause it to overflow, you have to make sure that it continues to boil the water and that you're not pouring in cold water to cause it to overflow. Pour in hot water to make sure that it's still going to be, that the water is still going to be boiling. Okay.
With the smaller vessel inside of a larger vessel, so what does the status of the larger vessel need to be prior? Like, for example, if it's treif already, do you need to kasha that first?
So great question. There is a chumrah when it comes to, so if it's ben yomo, then it's for sure going to be an issue because the water will come out unless you have 60 times kli, where the which is almost never the case. So basically, if it's ben yomo, always going to be an issue. You should definitely use an eino ben yomo kli. When it comes to Pesach, we're extra machmir to use a kasher la Pesach kli, meaning kasher the kli first. Or have a special kli that you use for Pesach, which as Dr. Eichel was mentioning, this is nowadays with Amazon and Kmart, you can buy one for like $10. So we have one kind of just sitting in our garage, makes it easier. Or you can just kosher, first you kosher that pot for Pesach, and then do the other kelim. It's just the chumrah to do that. But the Mishnah Berurah says that one should take on all these chumras when it comes to Pesach. He brings five chumras when it comes to Pesach. And generally, when it comes to Pesach, we're extra, extra machmir. So even though during the rest of the year, one wouldn't have to kasher the pot as long as it's an eino ben yomo. Over here, when it comes to Pesach, should kasher the pot before doing Haggalah with the other kelim.
Does the status of that larger pot change when you do kasher something inside of it? So you kasher a treif item inside this.
Yeah.
Now you want to kasher something else. Does the status of the larger pot change?
Yeah. Based on what you. So we're going to see that one can even kasher milchig and flea shake in the same pot as long as the kelim aren't a ben yom. And that's one of the reasons why the Shulchan Aruch brings down why one should wait 24 hours even before kashering for a chametz. So normally one doesn't have to wait 24 hours before kashering a kli, as long as it's not, it's heter abala. So it's a big heter abala means, let's say your fork was used for milchigs and then you want to use it for fleishig, which is not recommended to switch something back and forth. But let's say theoretically you wanted to do that. Because it's heter abala, there's no isser. The fork isn't, there's no isser in the fork, right? You're just switching from milchig to fleishig or something like that. Not really a problem. And therefore, even if it's a ben yomo, we don't really care about the flavor that's coming out into the pot, because it's heter flavor that's coming out into the pot. And therefore, it can even be a ben yomo. So it's a machlokas by chametz, because chametz, when you're actually koshering it, which is before the fifth hour of the day, which is before chametz is actually iser. So when you're actually koshering it, it's considered heter inside your fork or pot or whatever you're koshering. So therefore, it should really be that even though it's a ben yomo, you're permitted to kosher it. So you really, me'ikar adin, you can kosher your fork, your pot, even though it's a ben yomo. However, the Shulchan Aruch recommends not to do it because you might put milchik and fleishik kelim, and then you're going to have flavor spitting out from both of them. Ben yomo flavor, which is real, real milchig and fleishik flavor that's coming out, mixing in your pot. And if you don't have shishim in the pot, keneged the kelim, so then it's going to be, you're going to create treif in your pot, and then that treif is going to be spitting back into your kelim. So that's one of the reasons why we're makabed to use eno ben yomo when we're koshering, even for Pesach. And even though Pesach is really chametz before the fifth hour, is really hetera, it's really a machlokes, how we view it. We're going to see the machlokes. But even though theoretically it's hetera, it's heter, shouldn't really be an issue, that flavor spitting out. Nevertheless, we're machmer. So that's the complex answer. but we'll get into it, whether you have to wait 24 hours or not, based on what you're saying. Okay. So that's practically how we reach the rim of the pot when you're koshering, doing a self-contained koshering of the pot. Now we get into another shiloh, which is, okay, what about if you have something which you can't boil water inside, like a plate, or something that doesn't have any kind of rim, or something that you can't boil, say a plate which doesn't have a large rim, how would you kosher, and you can't fit it into another pot, how would you kosher something like that? So over here we see a major yisod of the Mordechai, and this is called the heter of Evan Meluban, which is quite a famous heter, it gets a lot of press time. Say Evan Meluban literally means white hot stone. So says the Mordechai, in Pesach, Psachem, Simen Tavkuf, Pei Aleph, this is source number 6, he says, Ukaras Gedolos, what if you have these big plates, right? So they don't have a wide rim or anything like that, a luach or a board, so like a cutting board or something like that, it would have to be metal, or even wood, but with no cuts inside where food can get trapped in, because otherwise you can't kasher wood with grooves. Shenosim alav mil yosos shel basar, and you put on it basar or shel gvina or cheese. So how do you kosher such a thing? Tzarech lelaben avadim. What you have to do is put stones on the fire. Make sure they're white hot. Ba'esh in the fire. V'aniach aladaf. Then place it on these metal boards. Or metal plates, or whatever you're koshering, the RLN, and then you could pour water on them. So now the water is going to boil with the hot stone, aleim. Or if you have a big plate that you're not able to put it in another kli, yasalahem kain. This is what you can do. Kilif amim nishbach min hamul yusa rotchos aladaf, because often fleishik is going to end up on that cutting board. Akein tzarich kli rishon. Therefore, you need a kli rishon in order to kosher it. And the major chiddush of the Mordechai is that using an Evan Meluban, which is this red-hot stone, you removed it already from the fire. So really, it shouldn't be a kli rishon anymore, right? But the chiddush is that it's the Evan itself is considered like a kli, right? And therefore, just like a pot of boiling water, even though you remove it from the fire, it's still kli rishon, shelo ala esh, so too, the Mordechai is arguing that this stone, even though you removed it from the fire, still has the din of a kli rishon, because it has like the din of a kli. So you removed it from the fire, still has the din of a kli. It has the din of a kli, and therefore it's considered a kli rishon. And therefore you can put it on the plate, pour some water on top of it, and that'll kosher it using kli rishon, because the Evan Meluban is considered like kli rishon. So it's a pretty big chiddush of the Mordechai, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, agrees with that as well. These are some early Rishonim. And the Ramah Paskins, like Rabbeinu Yeruchem, that you can use an Evan Meluban as a technique to create a Kli Rishon, even though there's no actual, it's not actually on the fire. So that's what the Ramah Paskins in source number 7, Tof Nun Aleph, Se'if Vav, Uka'aras Gedola Shelo Yuchal, Lahachnes toch kli rishon. These big plates, you can't put it in a kli rishon. Yiten aleim evan meluban. So what you could do is to do this evan meluban trick, get it white hot, the stone, then put it on the plate. the aralan, then pour some water on it. It's going to sizzle, and now you have your boiling water from a kli rishon that's koshering your plate.
You just pour water on top, hold the aluminum up, and pour water on top of the aluminum, and it'll come down. So it's not that you'll burn the plate.
What?
Put the hot aluminum on the plate.
Yeah.
You could burn the plate.
Yeah.
So could you just pour water on top of that, and it can come down? Over, like you have it. Yeah, but something to hold up the aluminum and pour it, and it'll come to the plate. Well, that'll be okay.
To suspend it in the air.
Yeah, I see they sell this kind of things.
Yeah.
Suspend it. I see in America they sell this kind of stuff.
I don't think it would work then, because then it's iri kli rishon, meaning the evan meluban is turning it into a kli rishon.
Right. So you pour the water over that, and it comes through the. How would that work?
But if it's not directly on, so then it's not going to be kli rishon. It's going to be iri kli rishon because it's pouring from the kli rishon onto. But you see them using this? Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't think.
On the thing itself.
I don't. Yeah. And they were talking about metal kalim. So now we have other kinds of kalim which might be a lot more
sensitive.
Yeah, a lot more sensitive. So.
Isn't it more like the oven itself is not a kli? It's more like it's the fire. That's the fire, and you're taking a solid fire and putting it on top of a kli. Now that kli is a kli rishon.
Yeah, pretty much. Either it's the fire continuation, some kind of hemshech of the fire that's now turning it into, meaning this water that you're pouring on the Evan Meluban is really iri kli rishon. It hits the stone, now it turns back into kli rishon water. So that's the major chiddush here. So how is that happening? Because this stone is, it's like a hemshech of the fire, or it's kli rishon ala esh, and now the water is like coming back into the kli rishon. Something like that, the mechanics of how it's working.
What about a long lantern? You dip half of it into the pot and then turn it around and put the other half in.
Yeah, so we'll see that. When it comes to koshering, many people think it's like tivoling. Tivoling, you can't do half at a time. You got to do the whole thing at a time. When it comes to koshering, you could even do half at a time. So we'll see that as well. So this is the big hetter of Evan Meluban, turning things back into a Kli Rishon, a major Chiddush. The Ramah Paskins like it, Lamaisa, right? He says, Shalo Yucha Lahachlis to Kli Rishon, Yitzin Alev Evan Meluban, use this Evan Meluban, via Aralem, and then pour on them Rotkim a Kli Rishon from a Kli Rishon, the Havei Ki Kli Rishon, and now you're going to turn the water back into Kli Rishon. Vechein Koka Yotza Bazeh, Viyavir Ha Evan Al Kli Sheaz Magilo Kulo. So the Ramah really paskins like the Mordechai and Rabbeinu Yerucham. However, the Mishnah Berura says in source number 8, Ratzalomar afagav de ein ze ela iroi mikomakam kiven shu al yedei evan meluban ein maniach hamayim leitstanen. Since you have evan meluban, even though it's really iroi kli rishon, it's not going to allow it to cool and it's going to retain its heat. V'havei ki'ilu naslan mitoch kli rishon, and it's as if you are putting it from a kli rishon itself. And he says, V'ayin be'eliyo rabba she'ichriya ledina, te'akoponim eno moa hagala al yidei avanim, ela be'ka'ara ukoyotze ba'oze. So the Mishnah Berurah is saying that the Ramah is only meko on something like a ka'ara, like a plate. She'rov tashmishan hu rak al yidei iroi mikli rishon, where most of its use is only through iroi kli rishon, meaning on a plate, most of its use is kli sheni. All right, you're taking food, couscous from a kli rishon, then pouring it on the plate. That makes it a kli sheni as it touches the plate. Or it's iroi kli rishon, if it's some kind of liquid that you're pouring in. So then it's going to touch the plate as an iroi kli rishon, or davar gush, which is really a chumrah. Since Rov Tashmish is through Iroi Kli Rishon, so therefore we can be Mako on Evan Meluban. But it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah that if it's something which is really used as a Kli Rishon, so then you wouldn't be able to use the Heter of Evan Meluban. The Ramah is only Mako. Bitsiruf, what we mentioned in the Ran, that we go after Rov Tashmishon, majority of its use. And therefore, one can be mako to use evan meluban. And he says, "Masha enkim bedavar sherov tashmishon hu bekli rishon." If most, the majority of its use is through an actual kli rishon, eino mo alahaga baofen zeh, it's not going to work to do agala in this way. De lo havik a kli rishon mamish, because it's not like an actual kli rishon. So now we come to the whole sugya of countertops. We have about 3 minutes. We might go a little bit over time. So if anybody has to leave, welcome to leave. But countertops. Why are they an issue? So really, countertops, it's really, things are only touching it through Iroi Kli Rishon or through Kli Sheni, generally. Anything that touches your countertop, majority of cases, it's going to be Kli Sheni. However, we're machmer for Davar Gush. Right? So you have something big, the big piece of meat. There's a Chumrah in the Ramah that we consider that big piece like a Kli Rishon, even though it was already removed from the fire. That's why people are makbid not to add spices to their cholent, because there's these big potatoes inside. And if you have uncooked spices, you pour it on top of your big potatoes. So really, it should be mutter, because the big potatoes, once you removed it from the cholent pot, put it into a second pot, now those big potatoes are Kli Sheni. However, there's a chumrah of the Ramah that we're machmer for davar gush, something which is big, it retains a lot of heat. And we say that even though that potato was removed from the Kli Rishon into the Kli Sheni, it still maintains its status as a Kli Rishon because it has a lot of locked-in, self-contained heat over there because it's a big piece. So something like meat, potatoes, any kind of big substance, we're machmer that it's like a Kli Rishon, like the Chumrah of the Ramah. And therefore, even though, let's say, you're cooking potatoes, you put it, or a big chunk of brisket, you put it on your countertop to cut it. So as soon as you put that onto your countertop, so then the meat or the chametz will go into your countertop as Kli Sheni, but bedavar gush, where we're machmer that it's like a Kli Rishon. So that's really what we're worried about over here. And that's why some poskim hold that it's not enough to do Iroi Kli Rishon to just pour boiling water on your countertops, because you might have trafed it up or got chametz inside as a davar gush, right? Maybe you had a big, what's a big piece of chametz that you would put on your, or whatever, a big piece of meat with couscous or, anything chametz stick that was mixed in, you put that on, now the chametz got into your countertop as a davar gush, which Ramachmer is like a Kli Rishon. So now you would have to kosher your countertop with the Kli Rishon. How are you going to kosher your countertop as a Kli Rishon? You're going to have to use something like an Evan Meluban type of heter in order to kosher your countertops. So that's why many, particularly the Israeli poskim, they're Machmer that you have to use Evan Meluban to kosher your countertops, because it could be that a davar gush of chametz got into your countertops. Now you need Kli Rishon in order to kosher your countertops. So what are you going to have to do? Something like an Evan Meluban, you got to heat up maybe a pipe of water, pour some hot water, or it could really even be cool water, but hot water is better because it doesn't cool down the metal as fast. Or you use a paint scraper, you heat it up on the, over the stove, put it on the countertop, pour some water on top, and then once it kind of cools down, then you got to redo it. It could be quite a long process. That's why some people use like a big metal pipe. So they'll heat that up over the fire and then kind of roll it with the tongs, obviously, because it's red hot. Could be super dangerous. So you should know what you're doing. Be careful out there. But
doesn't have to be stone.
Huh?
It could be also metal.
Yeah, it can be metal. Lav dafka stone. So anything that will get that white hot, red hot status. We'll be okay.
How do we know the exact constraints? Like, does the oven need to touch every portion of the stone of the countertop?
Yeah, it should really touch the whole thing.
The stone itself needs to be on every portion. Let's say the table. You need to roll it up and down.
Yeah, anywhere where like a davar gush practically could have touched.
Okay.
So if you know, like, oh, I never cut anything in that area. So then Iroi is going to be enough. So we're going to mention also the American poskim who are more makel. They allow Iroi Kli Rishon. And I just checked up the KA last night. They allow Iroi Kli Rishon. So we'll mention that in a second. But now we're in. So these are the poskim that say a person should really use Evan Meluban because we're machmer for davar gush. But then we have the American poskim. The American poskim hold you can even use Iroi Kli Rishon. Why? Because you have kind of a stack of kulas over here. Davar gush is only a chumrah. We also have the Rov Tashmishan. Rov Tashmishan is not through Davar Gush. It's either Kli Sheni or Iroi Kli Rishon. And therefore, Iroi Kli Rishon is going to be enough to kosher your countertops. You don't need an actual Kli Rishon in order to kosher your countertops. That's, and together with, there's also a third one, a little more iffy, a third heter, which is that there are poskim that there are rishonim that hold that iri kli rishon has the status of kli rishon. So that together with iri kli rishon might actually be like a kli rishon in order to kasher your countertops. So kind of between all those three heterim, they say iri kli rishon is going to be enough. And that's why some people will pour boiling water on top of their countertops, much safer for the countertop, right? Putting some boiling metal in terms, and other people, really the best Asa is to use an actual iron, right? Because the iron is not even, you don't even need the heter of Evan Meluban, of the Mordechai, that it's like, it's a continuation of the Aish. Here it's actually connected to the fire, right? There's an actual heating element. That's firsthand heating the water that you're pouring on top. So iron is really... What? So some people say you can get electrocuted. I've personally done it many times.
Wear rubber gloves.
What? Yeah, if you do it, wear rubber gloves. Or keep the wiring out of the water. Because the
water pour? Just the iron itself should be enough.
No, you have to heat up water because it has to be some kind of Haggala process. Because it got in through water, so now you got to remove it.
It's not like a blowtorch, you know, even though it's iron.
Right. Right. So not like a blowtorch. So iron. Yeah. So two real safety issues. One's your own personal safety, and one's the counter safety. If you're using iron or Evan Meluban. So first of all, personal safety. Don't get electrocuted. Make sure the wiring is out of the way. If you're holding the plastic, I don't know. Usually it's going to be okay. I've never heard of anybody getting electrocuted. Definitely could be a potential issue, particularly if you're using a big puddle of water. You don't really need that much water, right? It's just a little bit of a layer, and the iron will kind of move around the water as you're pushing it off. So only when the water really dwindles do you need a... and you have to let the iron...
How long do you have to leave it on the actual spot?
Just a second. Yeah. So it doesn't really have to be that long. So really move it along as you're going. And so the second issue is really the safety for the countertop itself. Basically, you have different countertops. So something like marble or granite is going to be fine. That's 100% stone. It's a real slab. That's fine. Quartz, which is made to look like stone, but it has a lot of, it has 3%, 3 to 10% of the plastic stuff mixed in. They heat it to like 2500 degrees. They put a lot of quartz, ground up stone. And then they're going to put the 3 to 10% of plastic in it. So that plastic, which is inside your countertop, can really melt down. So often if you put a iron, you leave it for too long, you're going to get some yellow discoloration, brown discoloration, or it can even potentially crack. If it's generally the cheaper ones, that can crack easily. So what's that made out of?
Just cover the countertop.
So that's another eight. Yeah. So this is all if you want to kosher your countertops and you want to keep the clean, fresh look. We don't have kosherable countertops. We just cover it, either contact paper or butcher paper or anything like that. And really, Me'ikar HaDin, if you're only using it for cold, if you're not going to put anything hot on your countertops, right, you're going to put only like coasters or anything like that. So then Me'ikar HaDin, you don't really need to kosher your countertops. Recommended you put some kind of layer just in case you end up putting hot on top of your countertops. So that's in regards to the countertops, using iron. If you have quartz, formica. So besides, there's an issue of koshering. If there's plastic, most poskim hold, you go after the majority of the material. And it's fine to kosher quartz, formica, cornerstone, or whatever it's called. So anything even with a little bit of plastic mixed in. If you're using the iron, make sure you move along quickly. Don't linger there too long if you're koshering quartz or formica. Marble and granite is fine. It can take heat really well. Ideally, do an iron or an Evan Meluban if you can do it safely. But KA, OU, CRC, they all hold. One can really even use Iri Kli Rishon that's enough to kosher your countertops. And if a person doesn't even want to skip, a person wants to skip that whole mess, they can just cover their countertop with contact paper or butcher paper and get out of it that way. What? Much easier. Yeah, contact paper, you have to then use the Goo Gone because it gets all sticky. And the butcher paper, if you pour something wet, then it kind of eats up over time. You got to put a new layer. Not such a big deal. There's only a few days of Chol HaMoed Yom Tov where you're actually cooking. So whatever a person wants to do, those are basically the two ways to take care of counters. Shkoyach.